come one and come all and hear the wonderful tales of Evermore. Welcome to World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast. Stay a while and listen to stories of valor, mystery, and romance. Hear ye, this adventure begins now. Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome again. We're so excited to have you again on World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast. I'm Wyatt, and I'm here with my friends. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, my dudes.
I'm Skylar. I am your resident collecty boy. I like to collect all the things.
Why, hello. My name is Chandler, and I am your resident question boy.
Hey, hi, my name is Daniel, and I just ate a whole lot of chicken. How's it going?
Nice. It's good. I'm good. Doing good.
I'm not a resident anything. I just wanted to let the listeners know that I just did a copious amount of poultry, which really, like, if we were in Legend of Zelda right now, I'd be getting chased for the amount of damage I've done to chickens in the past hour.
Kukos,
yes.
Even.
Yes.
I feel like our question boy had a little something he wanted to spill.
Oh, no. I was just going to, I was just going to see how you guys are doing with everything. How are you, the listener, doing? It's kind of a weird time in the world right now. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. My hands are clean.
Yeah.
I'm doing good. I have asthma, so I just kind of cough regularly. So right now I have to wear masks, and then people look at me and glare at me when I have to buy food at the grocery store, and they're like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I have this cough like 24/7. It's not. I'm not infected. I've had this cough since September."
It's also well known that Skylar, our resident collecty boy, is mostly allergic to all the things.
All the outdoor things. And indoor things. I am also allergic to dust. So, like, anytime the AC or heater kicks on, yeah. Yeah.
Today, gentlemen, we're going to talk about something that I kind of wanted to address. So, a couple episodes ago in our Aurora season review, we were talking about Ever levels and how there was a few Ever levels mentioned in Aurora and how we enjoyed our special Ever level. I wanted to dive in deeper into what an Ever level actually was and how you can go about becoming familiar with it, getting started. What can you expect from it? I just want to bring up this topic so everyone can understand this mechanic of the park and maybe even interact with it one day.
That sounds pretty great to me. I think a good place to start off is to make sure that we can differentiate between what an Everlevel quest is and what a normal quest at Evermore is. Specifically, like, when you go to Evermore, like, what do you expect from quests that you'll be sent on?
I think first and foremost, you can expect people of pretty much any experience level with the park to be able to jump in and get caught up pretty quickly with the things that are going on. The quests are kind of structured to give people information about the past, the present, and kind of give some insight into the future. In other words, normal Evermore quests are for everyone, regardless of how much you know the park.
Also, I think for me, the style of quest kind of depends on if you are doing the guild side or the guild portion or not. I think obviously they kind of all specialize in something different. So if you are looking for, maybe for example, myself, I quite enjoy the Rangers Guild. Their quests kind of more sneaking around, kind of observing, gathering information, that sort of thing. I know why you really kind of got onto that knight side,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and the knight's quests were more like patrolling, helping, serving, a lot of like helping the knights, both Worldwalker and citizen alike.
And it's no secret, Skylar, you kind of joined the coven. What were those quests like?
A lot of the coven's quests are very knowledge based. And in regards to just like, hey, just to join in, you need to learn and memorize all of the different magic types that the coven teaches. They teach 12 different schools of magic, abjuration, conjuration, divination, and just, animancy, all those types of things. And you kind of just learn about those and delve into secrets and arcane mysteries.
And I mean, in terms of the other guilds that we haven't covered, we have the pirates, which I am a member of. their quests, at least for me, made me feel like I was getting involved with activities that made me feel like I was on a high adventure with pirates out at sea, even though I was in a park in Pleasant Grove, Utah. Their quests felt pretty awesome in the way that they made you feel like an adventurer. You had the Blackheart Hunters, I really should say, who are, as it is no secret, sort of the resident monster hunters, monster experts. And they kind of expected a lot of their members, in my opinion, where it's like, hey, if you want to be a member of this group, you're going to have to do some research. You're going to have to go home. You're going to have to learn about different monsters, come back, report, bring in signs of the monsters that you've slain. Pretty fun stuff. I think very, very fun interactive guild in that way. And then there are the bards. And bard's going to bard. Bard's going to bard. That's all I got to say. Bard's going to bard.
Yeah, learning how to do, learning musics, putting on performances and monologues. So yeah, basic bard stuff.
I mean, like, yeah, if you want to send your kid to like a one-day theater camp, just send him to the bards.
That's actually not a bad idea. I never thought of that.
Yeah. So outside of guild quests, what can we expect from maybe a quest that's not from a guild, just from a citizen? Maybe like Philip.
Yeah, I think a lot of the quests that Evermore has can really be kind of summarized into kind of what you're getting from them, right? I think you are either getting information, gaining trust, or possibly working with the World Walkers. So for example, gathering information, just asking about secrets, tracking down. I've been sent on, go find out something not super well known about Dr. Marsh, you know, or something of that, and reporting back. And then kind of you have to ask yourself, how much truth will you put into that response as you're kind of gathering information, because information is powerful. So it's just a lot of things like that. So gathering information is one type of Evermore quests that you could get.
And I think that kind of leads into the next part of that, is just gaining the trust of a character or a townsfolk. Because as you're naturally trying to get to know them more, learn these secrets and information, you want to spend time with them and even probably express a desire for trust, so that you can know that like the answers that they're giving you are like real, and that they're not lying to you like some evil characters potentially do, like the murderers Maxwell, Morgan, Milsom, Meriwether, all those M stuff.
Carol
stuff.
Baskins, basically, is the son of spawn of Carol Baskins.
So it's just another way to like, hey, trying to be diplomatic and possibly try to, you know, just get to know them better. And then I don't know, any other points there on gaining trust?
I just think, you know, like in real life, sometimes people's best friends aren't the ones that know them the best, though this is something sometimes a regular thing. Oftentimes we find that people we spend the greatest amount of time are those that we actually lift up and lift us up, that make us feel joy and help us move forward. And I think that is something that these gaining trust quests allow us to do, is not only to learn more about them and to gain access to more information, but also to really help that connection between the World Walker, the character, and other characters. Everyone, I think everyone's just kind of raised with this type of quest.
Yeah, and honestly, kind of that's my playstyle in the terms of gaining trust. So like when I go on a quest to gain trust with the character, it's not necessarily like, what can I learn and dig and find out, what are their deepest, darkest secrets, is how can I share a laugh with this character? What can I do to just have a good time? There was one time I was talking with Jasper, and I was just having an okay time with him. Mostly I was just trying to find out something new and unique that I didn't know about him. But instead, my friend who is with me, who's really into old Westerns and has read several books about mountain men, was talking about an experience. And he shared this crazy story about this guy getting shooting a bear with his ramrod. And Jasper was freaking out and just loved it. And it created a bond. Like whenever I see Jasper, we talk about the ramrod and we talk about the bear. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be this like deep, meaningful conversation. It can just be joy. It can be just laughter that you shared. Giant Mythosian carrots can be a bond.
And who knows if giant Mythosian carrots are going to come up in a quest in the future. I sincerely hope that they do. But I mean, as something Chandler pointed out here a little bit earlier, quests can also take on the flavor of a like collaborative operation, whether or not you are literally standing side by side with your fellow Worldwalkers or you are functioning as a part of a greater whole, but you're kind of operating on your own. Quests can be that type of a thing. As you're working with the Rangers as a, or the Knights as like a militaristic operation, you might be sent out on quests, and not just them, but others as well. But you may be sent out on quests where it's like, hey, I have sent out others to do X, Y, and Z. Now I need you to do this. And so you are performing a part of like a sequenced quest. And so if everybody is able to do what they were asked to do, then the quest will be successful. If everybody isn't, then who knows? You might have varying levels of success and that may impact the story.
I think a really great example that we saw was the Big Freeze, that night where everyone got frozen.
Absolutely.
There was guilds coming together that had certain specific actions given to them by their guild leaders. So there can be this time when you're working together with the Worldwalkers to achieve a common goal.
And then when it comes to just kind of the way that you look at the normal quests, I say normal in quotations here, you can expect to be making a small but measurable difference depending on how in-depth you really decided to go with a quest. I would say pretty much across the board that the more you put into a quest, a storyline, a relationship with a character, or whatever it is, the more the park is going to be able and be willing to give back to you, the Worldwalker, and show you that, hey, this thing that you did on this quest has made an impact. And it may be something simple, like a slight change to a character's outfit. It may be something different in the way that a character sort of presents themselves around in the park, whether they are happy, sad, depressed, joyful, whatever it is. You may not be making a groundbreaking, earth-shattering change that changes the complete storyline of whatever it is you're doing, but small but measurable differences.
And I also think these quests in Evermore don't necessarily function always as official quests. Sometimes you are just talking to someone and you're like, hey, is there anything I can help you with? They mention something and that to you is an individual quest, right? So they're not always like, you have been summoned for a quest. No, it's just really just helping out. And we use kind of quest loosely, I suppose, as just an errand, a task, something that you can do while there at Evermore. And these tasks help you really get connected with the park, with any current and future goings on in the park and story elements there that are presently or future things.
Well said.
Thank you. And also, just as you are there at the park, it kind of gives you something to do and remember, a memory, if you will, that you can take home with you and really go about your day.
And I think one of the most measurable differences in regards to what a normal quest is in Evermore and like what these Everlevel quests are, and it's not always the case, but almost always you can accomplish that task that night in that single visit that you go, maybe two nights. But typically they try to make them in such a way that if it is your first visit, you can still accomplish a lot of things in a single night. And that is great. And it makes you feel important and empowered and things like that. But there's also a great deal of there's some semi ease to it, considering the time frame in which you can complete them, because you can do it in a single night. If you can catch on quick enough, you can do it in a single night.
So, I mean, now I think this is kind of a time where we can start to move into a little bit of the greater discussion of what the Everlevels, at least in our opinion, were kind of developed to do. Like, Evermore wants everyone to feel like they're a part of an amazing tale, regardless of how much time that person has spent in the park. But naturally, this leads to one major issue. The regulars of the park potentially face burnout with the sort of regular approach that they might be taking to the quests that they're there. Like, if you've gone 10, 20, 30, 40 times, you're going to have a decent idea of what to expect when you go. And that doesn't mean that Evermore's normal system for questing is bad, not by any stretch of the imagination. I would say that Evermore is in a good place with their current questing system. It's developed to a point where whenever I receive a quest, I don't feel like it's the same thing time and time again. I am able to make my questing experience special because I want to make it more than just a fetch quest or ask these three questions and come back and report. I would say, again, the current state of Evermore questing is strong, and both the Worldwalkers and the Everfolk combined make it amazing.
I would say just amen. I think all of us can agree that last year, Aurora 2018, questing was a little rough. It was pretty difficult to find activities that weren't repeated, that weren't the same. I would say very much so with a lot of confidence that the questing system currently is very, very strong. You can find unique and different activities to be doing that have meaning, that have impact.
Yes, but to go to the issue of like potential burnout, like to phrase it in like a slightly different point of view of like why the ever level that we're going to be talking about here a little more in a second is necessary, is that if we were to talk about Evermore quests as if we were running a J.R.R. Tolkien fan book club, but we were only to read The Hobbit, people would probably get a little burnt out. They would probably expect like, but wait, there's supposed to be more here. There's way more for us to be talking about, but we keep coming back to this same thing. Why aren't we doing anything different? Let's go deeper. Let's discover new things. Let's talk about this deeper lore. Let's make a deeper impact. Let's understand what was going on in the histories of the things that are going on here. And so in terms of like a book club, it's like, well, if we're just reading the same book every time, why am I going to come back? The ever level is different than anything else Evermore's ever done before in terms of questing, because it just builds in new expectations. They're not meant for everybody to participate in, but they set a new foundation for what to get into with questing.
And I think one of the big reasons for that is that Everlevels are kind of designed to have a greater impact and thereby require more information. Just like you're saying, like reading The Hobbit doesn't give you all of the information about the Tolkien universe, Lord of the Rings universe.
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
There's whole compendiums of information that you need in order to grasp stuff. And so These are geared towards people that come more often or are able to pick up on information and retain it very quickly, so that there is typically it requires more visits to the park just because you need a larger amount of information in order to understand what is happening in this quest and the possible impacts it could have.
And shout out to all of the community of Evermore community that sharing information that you can get up there and get knowledgeable about the park without ever visiting as much as, say, someone who's been there 20 plus times. I think that's really, really awesome about this community, is we can come together, get that information. So if you want to get to this level, if you want to get to this ever level, you can, because you'll be armed with the knowledge that you need.
So I think when kind of discussing the ever level, it's important that there are new expectations when it comes to an ever level quest. So far, we have seen four ever level quests have been released to the park goers and allowed to be taken part of, and new expectations each and every time. Everyone is run differently, so we're going to kind of give you the overview of kind of what we have seen so far. These ever level quests can take many different forms, different ways of handling them, but this is just kind of the general information that we have seen so far.
And I think just as we've been talking about how normal questing is there to help you establish and build trust and a solid relationship with a character, I would say an ever level quest, in order for you to start it and to find it and to take part and enjoy it, you need to have a deeper level of trust with a variety of characters, not just one, but you need to be. Like, and this is a difficult thing because it goes into that point that Skylar was talking about in terms of it's going to require multiple visits, is that trust takes time to develop, which I guess this is one of the difficulties that Evermore will have to work with, is as people are learning more before coming to the park about Evermore through communities that are active and sharing and discussing these secrets, like that trust in order to access an ever level quest still has to be earned. So it's going to be a curious thing to see how that is handled in the future. So in terms of one of the foundational expectations of an ever level is just trust.
And I don't think this necessarily means that, you know, they're keeping track of how many times you've come, obviously, because some people are a lot better at gaining trust than others. As we've talked about before, I'm a pretty shy boy, so I have difficulties talking to people. But you can definitely get in on these at these Everlevel quests, depending on how they're structured. Some of them, you actually don't need any prior knowledge to get in on it, such as the Wolves of Winter quest, which we will probably talk about a little bit more in a moment. But basically, it was just if you happened to be there on the day that this basically seasonal event took place, this seasonal Everlevel took place. So not all of them require that deeper knowledge, but if you do have it, it can change your outlook on it and potentially how you can accomplish it.
Yeah, I think with Everlevel quests, it just really comes down to when defining them, the thing that defines them is that it goes deeper and it is designed for regulars who will come multiple times. Those that want to become regulars, maybe you are not yet, but you would like to become. And this is kind of aimed at you, that you can really influence things. So just understand that also when partaking of these quests, that you can absolutely fail and you may not get an additional attempt. They are pretty savage in that way, that you don't know how long you have to be able to complete the quest. The time frame, that kind of the time limit, is unknown, and it's just you have to go, and if you fail, if you run out of time, you actually do, there are consequences to that.
Yeah, I just want to jump on what you said a minute ago, just the idea that like doing Everlevels can help you become a regular. It can help you be cemented in this world if you want to be so. If you want to get really stuck into it, I think a great example of this is in Lore 2019, the Dark Aran Everlevel was the idea that you could save Aran from a darker fate, and we saw that he was saved. He was transformed back into his good boy, but had he not been saved, he would have been a very, very evil boy. Now, the person who completed that Everlevel has currently the sword in the tavern with their name on it, and that's an awesome experience that can cement you in the world of Evermore if you wish it to do so. And we had that experience with the pirate quest. We got all the gold. We became members of that community. The Wolves of Winter, again, you're a distinguished citizen or sub member of this group. You're singled out. So the Everlevels can have not just a deeper impact on the world, but a deeper impact on you.
And I think we are definitely seeing them change and evolve again as we get back into it because of the failing aspect. I don't know. I mean, you kind of technically fail, but it's more that there's two branching paths. And now you have the opportunity to, if you are good enough and can accomplish that, you can basically unlock a path like saving Dark Aran and making him return to his normal self and even more powerful because you went through with this.
You are correct. Thank you, Skyler. You're right. It is not necessarily success or failure, but just takes you down different paths of storylines.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you look at any well-written novel, the heroes that you follow, the protagonist, whomever it is that you follow, is going to fail a number of times because failure is what is going to make the story interesting. Because through the adversity, through the challenges that are faced, they are able to progress further. So like even that is the same for the World Walker, that failure is a natural part of storytelling. So like you are getting to take part in a live version of this storytelling. And so it's just a really cool piece of a narrative that you kind of get to weave yourself into this fun tapestry of Evermore.
Definitely. And in that way, you can make a greater impact on the park. I think maybe before we progress a little bit further, we should actually discuss the four that we know about. There could have been more that we just missed, but these are the four Everlevel quests that we knew about for sure. So we can discuss those a little bit more so that people kind of know what points we're making here as we move on forward.
And Wyatt kind of mentioned a couple of these. We had the in Lore 2019, that was their debut, the Everlevel debut, of whether or not Sir Aran would be saved from his dark fate. Three champions were chosen, and one ultimately was able to find the sword of Sir Aran and save him from that fate. And we saw that that Peter was able to do that, get the sword reward, and also be made into a sergeant. So awesome. Well done, Peter.
The next one that we learned about was a treasure of gold. Fergus Nettleton of the Pirates had been stealing gold for himself, and then the others found out about it, and they were like, hey, we need to find this. Can you help us find it? We found some clues. Help us crack this. And then the reward for that was that we basically became the richest world walkers in Evermore, because we managed to find a literal chest full of gold and gems and artifacts. It was amazing.
So the pirate chest storyline took place during Aurora 2019. As another one that started up during that same season was one that we saw, as has been mentioned, with the Wolves of Winter. As their numbers had dwindled to a dangerously low point, they needed to conscribe new members, but they couldn't just let anybody join. They needed to make sure that the people who they allowed to become members of their ranks, that they were worthy and that they were ready and that they'd be willing to make the sacrifices required to become parts of the Wolves. So it required essentially a month commitment to coming to the park week after week, each Saturday participating in one or two quests. The first 3 weeks you participated in two quests, and the last week you participated in one, all of which, at least in my opinion, kind of progressively got more and more intensive and in demanding things from you. And at the end of that, you were rewarded with not just being like rewarded as, hey, now you're a member, but the park held a full induction ceremony to the 34 people who completed the quest. And all of us received a Wolf of Winter name as we joined the ranks. It was really quite unique. And this was one of the, I think, one of the stranger ever levels that we've seen thus far, as it was one that was literally accessible to everyone. You had to be there to officially join the Wolves of Winter on its start date. But if you were just there at the right time, anybody could have joined in and participated up through the full thing and received the full reward. People could still jump in afterwards and become allies of the Wolves of Winter. Those 4 weeks, all the boxes had to be ticked in order for you to accomplish it.
Yeah, and if you showed up and you just failed one of the tasks and you couldn't get it done that day, like that's it. You can still do the other challenges, but you don't qualify to become a Wolf of Winter. And that's kind of the severity of the quests, the intensity. It requires a lot of engagement, and they expect that out of the people participating. So while it may be open to everyone, with the Wolves of Winter, you have to come in and you have to say, hey, I want to do this. This is what I'm going to do. And then you have to commit to coming 4 times. Otherwise, you just probably want to go find some other quests to do, because there's still lots to be done.
And then the last one that we saw was really understanding a little bit more of what was going on with the Maxwell Morgan questline. This unique one actually was just getting a leg up on the next questline and helping to bring back Maxwell Morgan on the Coven's terms. He was coming back anyway, but finding the tethers and actually being a part of it, and then being able to, when Maxwell came back, being able to have a say with him as he pulled those people aside, was very unique in that you got to actually have a leg up on this quest line. So very interesting there. We've seen different ways that these operate, different audiences that they target, but the whole thing really comes back to, hey, we want you to go deeper, we want you to experience more, because there is more here. And honestly, just kind of, you thought you had a good relationship with a character, go deeper. You thought you knew how to crack our ciphers, go deeper. The park constantly just saying go deeper. You thought you'd be able to do it in one night, ha, go deeper. And you thought you'd be able to do it alone? I think not. You need to go deeper and work with others.
And just because I am a super nerd, I contextualize things in nerd speak here. So I would say the Everlevel quest is to Evermore how like the endgame content of World of Warcraft is for level 60 characters. Like, you wouldn't expect a bunch of level 1 characters to be able to run through and appreciate a level 60 dungeon. You can't send them to Molten Core and think that they can make it through. They can't get through Onyxia's lair. Ha! I laugh at them. They aren't properly geared. But it's sort of a similar thing, at least in sort of my view of what the Everlevel quest is kind of aiming to do, is to provide those who have shown that, hey, this is something that I want to be a part of. I want to put the time and effort into making your storyline special. Let me be a part of that with you, and we can do something awesome. I'll have a lot of fun. You'll feel rewarded, and we'll all feel this fun joy of narrative storyline, storylining together. It's really quite fun. So really at the end of the day, like, the Everlevel is there not necessarily to be the be all end all of Evermore content, but is just another thing that they have added to make it all the more special.
Yeah. And I think that's what separates it from just a regular quest. As kind of we've been talking all about this, like, a regular quest, it can be done in a visit. It's pretty nice. You can accomplish it. It gets you that trust. But that Evermore, Everlevel, that quest is deep, is depth itself. You really need to have an understanding of the park. You need to have a deep trust with the characters, with most of the characters, and you need to know what's kind of going on and be a regular in order to really encapsulate what that Everlevel is trying to give you.
I think another good way of looking at it, to put it in those nerd terms or video game terms, these Everlevels are kind of like seasonal events. They are only available for a short time, and if you're just not there when it begins, you can't get in on it. If you're there when it is going, great. And it requires, or like raids, you need to be properly leveled. Like you're saying, you need to have the right gear. And in Evermore, that gear is knowledge, because, you know, you can't go running around hitting people without getting ejected from the park and never being welcomed back. But you can gain information in order to become powerful in the world of Evermore.
So then when it comes to the Everlevel, here are, I guess, just like a few tips as to how best to find them or get in on them as they're going on. And really, it does require the repeat visits, as we've been discussing. Like, perhaps you'll stumble into one. But here are just some of our tips. So first and foremost, just keep your ear to the ground in general about odd happenings around town. You never know where Evermore is going to put the start of an Everlevel quest. Look at what the characters are doing. What are they fiddling with while nobody is there talking with them? Who are they going to talk to when they're alone when they're alone by themselves? Who are the people they're seeking out? Why is this one character that seems unassociated with somebody else? Why are they suddenly developing a friendship? Just keep an eye out on some of those odd things. This is sort of a point to try and develop a meaningful relationship with everyone you can. And again, it won't happen in a single night, but it's going to kind of fall on you to learn enough about people that you can notice the strange things that are happening around the park, because there are things that are going on all the time. Characters having interactions with one another that if you're not sort of tied into, clued into, because you don't know enough about a character, then it's going to totally go over your head. It's not going to negatively impact your experience with the park, but that could be a lead that you're missing to an Everlevel. And then I would also say as well, as you're going about throughout your experience with Evermore, I would just kind of talk to those who are handing out quests that you are ready and willing to participate in, quests that might even take you multiple days to accomplish. I am all for openly expressing your desires. And I mean, you might not approach every character in the park and be like saying, hey, do you have an Everlevel quest for me? But I mean, within the context of the park, like if the park is aware that you want something more to participate in, and you're showing that through your repeat visits that you are there supporting the park, they're probably going to be able to cater an experience towards you, maybe not for you, but towards you, because really it's what the park wanted anyway, and now through you they have a vehicle to accomplish it.
I think that especially doesn't hurt. Like, if you're super eager and you're trying to say, like, I'm looking to do something more meaningful, more impactful, I mean, the developers put a ton of time into these quests. Just thinking about the pirate one that we went through, there was a cipher page that we had to translate. And then once we did that, it led us to other clues that we had to translate and figure out and decode and crack. And then there was even a map that was a map to two separate places in the park. And we were just like, we found everything with all of the clues. And then people were like, well, maybe one of these clues, this map, if you line it up with somewhere else, it could lead you to a different place. And we're just like, okay, that's intense. That's crazy. That's wild. And it took us 7 visits to accomplish it. They're very labor intensive and very exciting. So I'm sure the developers want to show them off and have people participate in them because they're like, we made this for you.
Exactly. And there are times when, honestly, regardless of how much you're trying to pay attention to everything in the park, it doesn't really matter because the Everlevel just finds you anyway. It just kind of stumbles into your lap and somebody will kind of beckon you over and say, hey, I see you around here often enough, and I think you're the right person for this task. Let me talk to you for a second. And an Everlevel could come to you that way. So, I mean, it's just a matter of, like, really, at the end of the day, building trust, paying attention, making solid relationships, and letting people know that you want to help.
Kind of just to put it all in one little sentence, just putting more into Evermore.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, absolutely. Absolutely.
We have heard many times from the cast and crew that we've interviewed is however much you put in, you get out. And this is just another level, as Dan said, of you getting more out of the park. It does require you to put a lot in, but this is a way to reward people more for putting in that work. And there may only be one or two Everlevels a season. Who knows? Like, they are quite infrequent. If you aren't sure of one that is happening, it may just mean that there's not one going on presently. So just be aware of that. But yes, just as you put more in, this is a great way to get more out.
Yes, I mean, at this point, we've kind of talked a little bit about what the Everlevels are, kind of what our thoughts are, why they're there for, like, the problem that they were trying to fix, and the nature of regular questing. So with all of that in mind, the question kind of then comes to, so why is the Everlevel really actually needed? Like, concretely, what is the Everlevel here to do?
I think just going back to what you were mentioning, Dan, with the Tolkien book club syndrome that we discussed earlier, like, they really just help circumvent what would become an issue to players that I'm here more, I want to make more of an impact than someone who is just here for their first time. I want to be rewarded for coming a lot.
Yeah, and I know that for some people, it's the degree of difficulty that challenges them, that they really want to see, like, I'm tired of going and talking to so-and-so and then coming back and report. I want to do something more substantive. I want to do something a little more difficult, and that the challenge is the thing that drives them.
Yeah, so I guess to put that into the terms of, like, well, like, what is the issue it's trying to solve, is that it becomes an outlet for the harder material Evermore is trying to allow people to access. Because, I mean, I don't want to say Evermore is easy, but I mean, really, at the end of the day, it just requires you to be willing to walk around and talk to some people. But the Everlevel demands more, as you brought up. It's harder material. It's very, very fun in that way for me, because I appreciate the challenge. But hey, you know what? For some people, participating in an Everlevel might not be their cup of tea because they don't want the harder material. And in that case, it's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of a side note there, the harder material, for me, just as a kind of a park goer and observer of people, I think it's incredibly interesting and fun to see a small group of people working together. You know, maybe they have papers strewn about the tavern tables and they are working to crack something. That's incredibly invigorating and exciting to see that, hey, this park, there are things that you can do. You can talk to the people, you can decode, you can... You know, there are many different levels of playability here. And I think Evermore Park really, with the Everlevel quest, added another layer of replayability, of continuing to go for that reason.
In short, I would say that Everlevels make the park more than just an experience that presents one night of fun, but makes Evermore something that will draw people back time and time again to discover, explore, and conquer insurmountable odds, alone, with friends, and with the Evermore community as a whole.
I think this, I totally agree, and it leads me to one question, perhaps. Do you need Everlevels to enjoy the park, though? Is this, as we've mentioned before, is this the end-all, be-all of quests in Evermore? Is this what I have to do in order to have fun at Evermore?
Honestly, no.
No.
They provide a unique experience. They're fun, deep, complex, and require a lot more of the park goer, but they're not incredibly essential. You don't have to do them, just as you don't have to do any one particular thing in Evermore. It's just another asset, another thing that you can do.
It's kind of like, at least in my opinion, like approaching the Everlevels or regular questing, whatever it is you want to do at Evermore, at the end of the day, so long as you are approaching the quests in a way that you feel like this quest is the most meaningful thing for me to be doing right now, that quest is going to feel like it has an impact for you and hopefully for the character that you're interacting with. They will read from you the importance that it has to you, and they will respond in kind. You want to build solid relationships with the characters. You don't need to come to the park 20 times to do that. You can make a solid impact. You can make a memory. You can have something special there in a night. You can have something special there in a few visits. And that isn't something that is like you're trying to tick the boxes for anything special, because the Everlevel doesn't have to be, again, the be-all, end-all. It's just a side reward. It's something that is there, that is accessible, but really, at the end of the day, what is central to Evermore is you and your experience. That's all that matters for while you're there. Yes, there's a story going on, but that is a part of your experience.
Just as you were speaking, Dan, honestly, sometimes the Everlevel quest takes you away from the story.
It's true. Absolutely. It totally does.
A very interesting thing that happened to us when we were doing the pirate chest quest. We had no idea what was going on with everything else going on happening in the town. So you sometimes do get insights into future quests or storylines, and sometimes you get pulled away completely and kind of come back and are like, what is this? What is going on? There's a curse in town? What?
Yeah.
And
seriously, there are times when you kind of get totally sidetracked. And I think that that specific Everlevel kind of showed us, hey, if you're not being actively engaged throughout this Everlevel experience, you're gonna come back and kind of get broadsided with having to pick up the pace and backpedal and figure some things out. But it's interesting how really I think anybody could either get lost in what they're doing with Evermore, because again, you can be seeking to make a difference. You could just be seeking to hang out with characters that you vibe with, and it might there are a number of things that you could do that could pull you away from the story. But I guess Evermore's sort of answer to that at the end of the day was, well, did you have fun though? Did you have fun with the pirate quest? Was that a good time? And I think our answer would be a resounding yes, because mm-hmm. when we came back, we weren't afraid to pick back up on the story, because we had fun, and that was what mattered at the end of the day. It's interesting, and I will say this time and time again, that whatever it is that you do at Evermore, their focus is you, your experience, and the fun that you have.
Exactly.
And I would say, along with that, again, these Everlevels aren't the end-all be-all. You will still have amazing quests no matter what you do, because it's what you want to do. If it's not your cup of tea, great. Go do what you want to do to have fun. You're still going to find a lot of amazing things to experience.
And have a meaningful impact.
Yes, absolutely.
Do what you want to do within the rules. Play within the system, definitely. Yes. But I completely, completely agree with you guys. Wonderful points there.
Yes, I guess just get out there. Go to Evermore. Hopefully it's able to open back up soon with the whole COVID-19 craziness. Everything has kind of taken a toll, and we're hoping that Evermore is able to open back up and isn't hurt too hard. Like everybody else in the world, we're hoping that they're able to do okay and recover just as well. So, I mean, I guess just when it does open back up, be sure to go support it so that it can continue to grow and flourish.
Yeah. And look out for those Mythos Ever levels. Hopefully there's going to be a few coming up. We'd be really, really excited to see what they got in store and prepare and planned for.
Yeah, I guess an Ever level to all of our listeners from the World Talkers is to let us know what you're most excited about Mythos for. Like we want to hear what is burning within you with anticipation, because there are a lot of things that we're excited for, and there are a lot of things that we just don't know what's gonna come.
We don't really know.
But I know that there's some elven matriarchs that are on their way, and I'm freaking out about these people. I have no idea what to expect, but they seem kind of shady to me right off the bat. I don't know.
I don't trust them. I think they're
it's not because it's a matriarchy. Down with the patriarchy. I love the elvens. I love the elves. I love matriarchies, but I don't like the elven matriarchy.
To me, they're just gonna hurt my good night boys, because I think they're still sworn in service to the Mythos Elven Matriarchy. But that's a whole nother story. A little theory craft time, if you guys will have me. I'm wondering, and I'm considering that the Wolves of Winter tract that we saw, that Ever level, is going to be a similar feature in Mythos with the Dragon Trainers, because we haven't seen them in a very long time. They probably don't trust nobody.
Very interesting, especially because they were so difficult to join their ranks anyway, or rather, you could become an initiate, but leveling past that was a difficult thing, and learning about their true secrets was a difficult process. So very interesting. I do like that.
I wonder what will be revealed. But thank you guys for listening to this episode. We appreciate it. And we want you to experience this mechanic in any way or shape form that you wish to choose. So it's a very, very fun, interesting thing that Evermore has introduced to the park. But I think that's going to be it for us. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. It means the world to us that you still contribute.
We do have a piece of kind of housekeeping information, which we will talk about after our thank yous and kind of credits there. So stay tuned. We have an announcement within ourselves, kind of a big thing that we need everyone to know about.
Yes.
So stay tuned. But yes, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. To stay updated to all things Evermore, be sure to follow the park at evermore.com and on their social media with their handles at Evermore Park and at Evermore Creative Studio.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram with our handle at World Talkers.
Call in or leave a message at 801-332-9321, and join our show.
And if you'd rather write in, feel free to email us at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com.
You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and also a huge shout out to our amazing executive producer, Aileen. We really appreciate your support there.
And honestly, really just a big thank you to anyone that's supporting us on Patreon right now. These are weird times, and we appreciate that you continue to support us and are giving of what you have, because for a lot of people, funds aren't a certain thing right now, and so we just are super grateful for you. Thank you, Aileen, and thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers.
Yes.
And now for our kind of housekeeping moment. This is actually, in fact, Wyatt's last show.
Yep.
Wyatt has decided to kind of leave us and go about his life and grow and prosper.
He's leveled up.
I have leveled up from college. I have graduated. I'm going to be moving out of Provo, and I can't continue with these guys. I wish I would. Wish I could, but just moving on. Different greener pastures.
Or redder pastures.
Redder pastures, going home to St. George for a little bit. So red sands. But I loved you guys. I love the park. I love this podcast. It's been a really great experience for me. I'm going to miss it. And hopefully I can move back, find a place, and come back to the park and visit and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back. We've definitely appreciated all the time that you've put in and helped us out with here. So thank you for joining us, Wyatt.
Yeah, especially thank you for all of my crazy theories and thoughts and wild stories.
A fun thing that we will now be playing for you. Wyatt, in one of our fantastic episodes. He had a great moment that we took out of the show that literally made us stop what we were doing and talk about everything. And it was a moment of Harry Potter induced mayhem that kind of brought in Wyatt's understanding as he was a child. So we will now play that for you now.
Would like to mention that as they did this, Jakul reached into his jacket, pulled out a little bit of silver, and was fiddling it with it in his hands. So I don't know if it does affect what happened to the dragon trainers. However, it does seem a little suspect as to what maybe he was aiding, maybe he was hampering. Who's to know? Until Mythos, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. What was he pulling a Snape counter charm from Book One, The Sorcerer's Stone? Or
was he Quirrell with the remote control actually destroying the broom?
Exactly, because that's how that one worked.
Well, that was in the movie. He was like this, you know? He had a little remote. Am I talking nonsense?
Yeah, he doesn't have a remote control.
Yeah, he does. He was like this.
He
and
does Snape not...
was counter-cursing the broom.
He was... Yo, you think that... Quirrell was using his broom like an RC racer car.
Does he not do this in the movie?
He does not.
We're going to watch this.
He is fiddling with his hands.
Yeah,
we are keeping this in. He is fiddling with his hands because he is cursing Harry Potter, and Snape is counter-cursing the curse.
If he was counter-cursing, it would have worked. He has a remote control. There's no curse being made.
All right. So they're fighting. That's the whole deal.
Hold up. All right. We're going to let you settle this, listeners.
No,
we're keeping this in.
No, you need to write into us and let us know who's right and who's wrong.
Was Quirrell using a small remote to control Harry's Nimbus 2000? Or is Wyatt absolutely insane? What are you talking about, Wyatt?
He was cursing it. He didn't have a remote control.
Oh my goodness.
It's fine. I could probably cut some of this out.
We better cut all of it out.
No, this is very important. This is important conversation.
So, ends up happening next is that the dragon... So, what ends up happening next is that the dragon...
We're gonna pause the recording.
Okay, I will just say it made a lot of sense to me as a child that it worked via the mechanical, like, Snape can't, it's not, the broom's not working, and so Snape can't, the counter curse isn't working, and so I'm like, oh, it's not magic, it's technology, and that's why it's not working. It makes so much sense. Stop giving me these looks.
Wyatt, you know what would have made it make sense? If you read the book.
I read the book!
Where the book is like, Snape pulled out his RC racer control.
It was Quirrell, thank you. Now who's read the book?
It's because your argument was full of ridiculousness. Anything that comes out of my mouth about that argument is just going to be a little full of malarkey. But thank you for that very entertaining moment. It was... It warmed our hearts, and I think it grew us together closer as friends.
Indeed. But that's it for our episode. Again, we appreciate you guys listening to us. Dig deep, try hard, and always be willing to try something new. We'll ever level with you
Beyond the Portal.